Welcome to Randomania! It's a podcast where we select a WrestleMania match
at random,
and then we talk about it. Yeah, my name is Brad. Joining me this week, like always, my brother Matt. What's up?
Like always, it's like you're disappointed, like, oh, I wish it was somebody else that could roll in here. I'm getting tired of this asshole. Anyway, hey, good to see your voice and hear your face. Nope, reverse that. WrestleMania week has just concluded in the real world where we are recording, and our number of matches has gone up, which we'll talk about later, and it was pretty sweet. So most of our pre-recording was talking about the WrestleMania that just happened, so maybe we'll get lucky and get one of those. We can actually talk about it for like 40 minutes.
I hope so, because overall I thought WrestleMania 37 was good. It was, you know, it helped with the fact that they hadn't had live fans in a year, so everything was better. So, like, if you compare it to, like, 17 or something, probably not on the same level. But, you know, it was a good Mania. We liked it. We both talked about it lots. But we also had another WrestleMania to watch this week. A recent WrestleMania match. And, Matt, could you please tell everyone what match we got this week?
Certainly. We got match number 344 from WrestleMania 36. It was taped on March 25th, 2020. But it aired on April 4th, 2020, from the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida, in front of zero fans, Elias and Baron Corbin. Well, King Corbin.
Yeah, technically one fan. There was that big giant fan floating on the top of the Performance Center. You know, the big fan that spins?
You know what the name of that fan company is?
Nuh-uh.
The Big Ass Fan Company.
I think we have those big ass fans at my place of employment.
Yeah, as well, one of our not my place of employment, but one of the other casinos. I work in a casino. One of the others has big ass fans, so it's called Big Ass Fans. Is it right on the blades? So, haha, yeah. Horrible joke, you dick.
Come on, it was great. So yeah, WrestleMania 36, also known as the Pandemic WrestleMania. Right, this is the the build up to WrestleMania was underway, everything in the world shut down, so they had to improvise and pivot, and thus we got WrestleMania from the Performance Center pre-recorded, which I actually didn't even know it was pre-recorded until like a couple days before when I found out that it was already in the can. I was like, oh, okay, well, it'd still be good. It'd probably be better.
I do remember that text conversation. I believe I was the one that told you via text message that it was already recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of was a little kick in the gut at the time, but I was like, because I like live wrestling personally, and when it taped wrestling, you know, I don't know,
but no, I'm with you.
Yeah, you know, it's not like it was I don't think, how can you say it was detrimental? It was WrestleMania 36, and it was a unique situation for the company and for everybody involved in the world.
Yeah, when you think about it, like the NBA season was suspended. The NHL season was suspended. March Madness, all the NCAA tournament was canceled. And Frozen Four for hockey was canceled. Like, everything. Yeah, baseball was suspended. They were in the middle of spring training. They suspended. So, like, the only thing that had anything going on was WWE. Honest to goodness, there was I think there was some stuff from overseas that they were airing. But, like, when you click to ESPN or go to ESPN2 and they're showing old games and bowling tournaments and dart tournaments and the replays of this WrestleMania, which they did quite often in the month following this airing, they showed it a lot because they just didn't have a lot to show. So, thank goodness people had WWE to help them out and get them through this, even though it was in an empty arena and you could hear every grunt, moan, cry, whistle, not shot, announcer.
Well, yeah, WWE certainly pulled us through. I remember this when WrestleMania was coming up. It was very exciting because it was the first thing that had happened in weeks. You know what I mean? We used to just nonstop stuff happening, and then nothing was happening suddenly. You know, we're all watching Tiger King, and that's it. That's all we had. And then WrestleMania came around, and it was a big. It was great to sit down for an event again. Even if it wasn't the full thing. So,
yeah, it was better than
always
nothing.
Appreciative.
And it was March 16th, actually. March 16th. So this WrestleMania was originally planned to be at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida, where they just had WrestleMania 37. So it had been planned to be a stadium show. And it was up until like March, I think, I don't know what it was, like 12th or something, WWE still had plans moving forward to do it in Raymond James Stadium. Well, some of the local municipalities, I know the mayor of Tampa said something to the effect of, if they don't shut it down, we'll have to shut it down for them. That's not the exact quote, but that's essentially the vibe you got for it. And then it was on March 16th, so, you know, less than 2 weeks before they actually filmed this and recorded it, on March 16th, 2020, where they announced that it was going to not be at Raymond James Stadium and that they were going to have it at the Performance Center. For those that don't know what the Performance Center is, it's essentially part of the training facility for the NXT and like the upcoming WWE wrestlers that are, you know, getting signed and getting trained. It's where they go to work out. It's where a lot of guys that have been hurt will go to rehab. So it's kind of like a facility that the WWE owns and runs, and that's, they could control what happens in the building, so it makes sense to record it at the Performance Center because they can control the environment, right?
Right. It's, yeah, the Performance Center is basically the training facility for WWE, the preparation for what they, everything that WWE does, you could do and be ready for at the Performance Center. And so, sprawling campus is apparently is very nice. Never been, love to go.
They do have open house things, man. You can sign up and do, like, it's expensive. I've checked into it. You got to fly yourself there and put yourself up, but you can go there. You can go right to the Performance Center, see the facility, tour it. You can cut your own promo. You can come down the entryway. They usually pick a lucky fan or two to come out with a wrestler or two, and you can be at ringside during a match. You pretty much meet all the NXT talent. Like, it's a huge fan experience. So I could just imagine doing that 5 years ago, the amount of talent you were around. It's like the whole roster now.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. And then it would be that way if you went now, too, because you think the whole roster is probably going to be who's there
in 5 years. Yeah.
Right, so this is the turnover. So, anyway, Performance Center, WrestleMania 36, like you said, Raymond James Stadium, called off of Austin 316 Day, of all things. I remember Steve Austin was supposed to be on Raw for 316 Day that night when they canceled everything.
He was still on Raw, yeah, but it was weird. Because, okay, like, Austin, the whole shtick for Austin is based on crowd reaction, man. Remember he did the whole thing with Byron? Kicked him in the nuts, broke his hand. I remember thinking
he was drunk.
Yeah.
Broke his hand?
He broke Byron's hand.
Oh.
He went to, or kicked him in the nuts, or both. Like, he went to do the, you know, the gut shot to do the stunner, and Byron put his hand there, and he kicked him in the hand, and then either he kicked him in the hand, which hit him in the nuts, or broke his hand, or both. I remember he got hurt. Byron got hurt.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that's a fun fact. But it was weird. So, I mean, that's where we, I mean, and then they did Performance Center for, like, I don't know, geez, 4 months?
Yeah, till Thunderdome came around, which was in the summer.
Yeah. And then they're on their third Thunderdome location, which last night, Monday night, the 12th of April, there's their third location for the Thunderdome now. So it's evolution. They're evolving. They're doing what they can. Still no fans. But this match probably could have helped if there were some people in the crowd.
Certainly. It's a perfect example of they hadn't not perfected the craft of working without a crowd yet. They did what they could, because, you know, I mean, there's only so much you can do. But, yeah, it would have helped. Participants here, we got King Corbin. Let's talk about Corbin first. King of the Ring winner. Perfect. He needed something for his gimmick when he won the King of the Ring. When they started, I said Corbin should win. It'd be perfect for it. He needs that. And he won it. He ended up developing all that cool gear, you know, with the crown and scepter that were all gothic because he's a metal guy, you know, so he's got all kinds of metal shit.
metal robe.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he's been kind of getting opportunities at the top of the company for a minute. I mean, he had just come off, for this match, he had just come off of a feud with Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he's still pretty hot. He's a mid-card, pushing main event sometimes, big dude who can talk and everybody hates. And he's one of perfect my favorite heels for the fact, yeah, he's for the fact that everybody legitimately hates Corbin because he's annoying, and he's, you know, he's a dick, and he never lets up, you know?
He is a dick, bully. And he knows he's a dick, and that his job is to be a dick, and that he's kind of probably already a little bit of a dick in real life. So, like, I can have fun and just be me and to hell with all these people. I'm just going to be me turned up, and it's perfect for him. There was an interview this past weekend during the Hall of Fame ceremony where he was talking about, you know, somebody, how they influenced him in the business. And he's like, they taught me to be me and don't worry about being liked. And if you're going to be good at being the bad guy, be the best bad guy there is. And I'm pretty sure I'm the best bad guy. And I went, yeah, you are. I think you're the only guy that could come out at any time and probably get booed by almost everybody. Even us, who right now are like, we like Corbin. If we're at a live event, we're probably booing this dude.
Correct. I'm not going opposite of the crowd here. I'm with him. Let's boo this man because he deserves it. You know, his character itself is a real...
He's a pompous asshole.
Yeah, he's an asshole. So, it's easy to hate, and I like that. So I was saying a long time ago, I thought Corbin was one of the, when he was Raw general manager, I was like, man, he, or whatever he was, I was like, he's such Constable. A good heel. Constable Corbin. And he put on the suits and shit. Yeah. Everybody hated his ass. And I was like, this is the best. It's so good.
And he's gotten way better in the ring too, compared to how he was when he kind of first came up and won that battle royal. Spoiler. Still pretty green at that point. He's a former NFL guy. So he's not really a guy that probably grew up watching wrestling. It was like a fallback career because he, you know, injured out of football. Played for the Cardinals, by the way. And this is a backup, and he's just kind of thriving, and he's doing well. And I think he's probably, if he stays healthy, he's got a hell of a career for like the next at least 10 years.
I agree. He'll always be used. He's kind of that dick heel, like, those guys can work. I was going to give an example, but never mind. So I like him a lot. And then the other side of this match is
Elias.
I'm looking at my microphone here, and it's made by a company called Samson. And it would be Elias Samson as his original name, but he's just of WWE. Drops the last name like everybody else loses their last name. Put some respect on the name Samson.
Respect.
Anyway. But Elias is here, and Elias
is a babyface at this show.
Right. We did get a few tries at babyface Elias. I think they realized that he is entertaining and he could probably move merch, so they tried to, they tried it. But he's a heel. That's a fucking heel. You know, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, just the fact that when he started playing the guitar and he was really, really bad at it, and now he still plays it and he's only kind of bad at it, and he doesn't sing on key, but he's always got a song. One of the biggest boos I've ever heard on Raw ever was when they were in Seattle and he made the song about the Sonics leaving, or like they're no Thunder or something like that.
Yeah, he's like, you can't keep your NBA team or something like that. And the crowd, I mean, he ate it. He just sat there and just was like,
Yeah, and he went to try again and just looked around. I think Kevin Owens was standing next to him, and Owens was just like, Yep. It was awesome. No, it's really easy to elicit that reaction from a Seattle, Washington crowd, but still, it was just the way he did it, and then the way he kept going, and they came back to it when he brought up, I think it was a Thunder, right? That became the Thunder. Came back to it, made a comment about them. Oh, it was perfect. So,
it doesn't make sense, you know? It's like having a basketball team in Seattle.
We saw Mr. Elias Samson at the time at an NXT show about, I don't know, 6 years ago or so, wasn't it?
We did, and he got hurt.
He broke his ankle.
Yeah, he got hurt in the match. This was in Nashville at the War Memorial Auditorium, which is a really cool venue, especially for wrestling. Who was he against? Andrade.
Cien Andrade. Yeah, Andrade Cien Almas. He had just shown up on TV, too. So, yeah.
Yeah.
He started singing a song because they're in Nashville. He wanted to sing Johnny Cash because, everybody, you know, he's in Nashville. And then he just shit on the crowd and shit on Nashville. And it was fantastic. I remember our stepfather was really into it. He was laughing a lot.
Yeah. I think they realized really they're onto something. So that's the thing about Elias, is he's an entertaining guy. And he has gotten better at the guitar. I think he's really good at the guitar now. I think he's
I wouldn't say now. He's really good. I'd say that he knows what notes to play and can do that same thing over and over for 2.5 minutes while he's out there.
Isn't that what playing guitar is?
Yeah, if you're Elias. You know, if you're... I don't know.
I'm fine with it. I think his guitar playing is perfectly acceptable. I love the fact that he can't sing. It's the best that he can't sing. Because he was out there. Who was he singing with? He was just singing with somebody a couple weeks ago who could sing way better than him, and it was pretty funny.
It wasn't Jackson Riker, but it was somebody else. Yeah. Shane?
Shane. When he was singing with Shane McMahon, and Shane can carry a tune, and he was actually singing a tune to an Elias song, and it was kind of funny.
And Elias kind of looks at him. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
He's a good heel. But yeah, this match, he's definitely a babyface. And they've done it back and forth with him a lot. I mean, he's been up probably 4 years, maybe. And he's usually a heel, but I see two or three or four times he's had a little babyface run in there. I don't know why they flip-flop him so much. Maybe it's just they need somebody to work with somebody, so they flip him around. I don't know. Like, he's heel again now. We're a year later, and he's heel again, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, he's better as a heel. Maybe they just knew he was recording his album, and they're like, this thing will never sell if you're not a babyface.
He's got two albums! He can't sing, and he's got two albums! Yeah,
he was like number one on the iTunes charts and stuff with his albums. Like, he actually did well.
Yeah, because it comes up under soundtracks, so like it helps, like because there's not a whole lot of soundtracks that come out. But still, he was number one! What the hell? I do have both on my phone, just for the record. I just need to...
So do I.
I just need to make sure we get that. So this match, I don't know a ton. I know a little. I know that on March 20th on SmackDown that Rob Gronkowski, who was the host of WrestleMania 36, was making his very first SmackDown debut. I guess only SmackDown debut. Very first is kind of redundant. And he was out there with his buddy Mojo to get hype. I don't get hype. I stay hype. And, of course, who's got to come out to interrupt Gronk and Mojo? But the best heel on the frickin' roster at the time, Baron Corbin, right? King Corbin comes out. King Corbin's talking shit to Gronk. And then Elias, who had already been kind of making fun of Corbin for a couple weeks on TV and making songs about him, comes out, interrupts Corbin, who had interrupted Gronk. They pull a little trickster Gronk and Mojo do on Corbin and do the, like the schoolboy where Gronk pushes, I forgot his name, Corbin over Mojo, and they fall down, they laugh at it, ha 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 ha, and then Gronk says, I can't make matches, but if I could endorse one, I'd totally have you two guys have a match at WrestleMania, and now they have a match at WrestleMania.
Really?
That was it.
I didn't get that in my research. Mm-hmm.
I have the clip.
That's all, huh?
I watched it on YouTube, I'll share it to the page.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And then they had a thing like 8 days before that. They actually show the clip. They had a thing like the next week on SmackDown where Elias was performing on that platform up top and then Corbin attacked him and then like threw him over the big balcony thing.
Yeah, and then the first bit of cinematic WWE we got, I think, in my opinion, was this incident where you had Elias fall off this 15-foot platform, which, you know, was filmed in a way that the cameras were, you know, put in a way that you could see him fall, but he did not fall, obviously. Pre-recorded type thing where it was sort of dramatic in a way, almost. So, all right. Yeah. Anyway, is that all? I mean,
That's really the build-up. I mean, I think they just needed to fill time. They needed to get some matches on the cards. You know, not considering there's no crowds, and you're not going to have a lot of fan fest stuff to talk about and Hall of Fame stuff to talk about, I think they just kind of threw more matches together. Because this Mania had like 18 matches total over two nights, plus a pre-show match each night. So we're talking 20 matches over two nights. And I think they were just trying to get... There's no Battle Royal. I think they're just trying to get dudes on the card. And this just happened to be one of the matches they threw together. And it was fine. For the match itself, Corbin comes out first. I dig that music, man. I still like it. I like the King Corbin music.
I like the music without the King stuff.
I do too, but I like how they incorporated the King stuff. I thought it was really smart. I don't know. It gets stuck in my head a lot.
I was actually a big fan of his original music he got rid of. That when he would come out.
Yeah.
Each of the spotlights or whatever.
Yeah.
And the last one was red. I thought it was great.
Was great too. That was the best one. That was his NXT entrance in his music. And they changed it when he got called up. Yep, I agree.
Yeah,
that
I had
was the best one.
I had listened to a podcast with him on it, and he had said that he's just friends with that band that made his song, and he wanted to have a song by that band, so that's why he worked with them to make his new song. So otherwise, like, he didn't hate his old song, but he just wanted to he's a metal guy, and he had metal friends who would make him metal music, and he's like, they can make my song, and they did.
Yeah, that's cool. That's fine. Corbin comes out, grabs the microphone, cuts a little promo. That's when they show the flashback to 8 days ago on SmackDown with Elias falling over. And at that point, Baron Corbin demands the referee raise his hand as a forfeit because Elias is certainly not there because, well, he fell off the balcony. He's got to be hurt a lot, right? And then you get the guitar strum. And here comes Elias.
Yeah,
we got JBL and Michael Cole calling this match too, by the way.
Right. JBL and Michael Cole on the commentary, which is great. Helps. Referee Jessica Carr, by the way. Shout out to her, the first female full-time referee in WWE since 2017. Good for her. Elias comes out carrying his guitar over his shoulder. It's usually a bad sign for his opponent.
No music either coming out. Just the guitar strum and then no music for him coming out.
Yeah. And Corbin says, like, how is he here?
Because you can hear everything.
Yeah. Everything. So, yeah. So he comes out. What does he do? Hit him, attack him, and he's.
Yeah. Corbin comes after him in the aisleway, and Elias is able to give him the boot and then hits him in the back with the guitar because, well, as Jeff Jarrett taught us, if there's a guitar in the area, someone's getting hit with it. Didn't look like a gimmick guitar, though. Didn't look like a Jarrett paper guitar. It looked like a legit, probably, Walmart guitar.
I think they've gotten better at building their gimmick guitars, is all. Because they're definitely still breakaway.
Yeah, they're thin. They are thin.
Yeah. I don't think you'd get a good tone out of that thing.
Yeah. Then they're pretty much into the match. They get in the ring, and the match is on. Now, one thing that really bothered me a lot is that they just did not sell that fall thing. Like, they should have been... He had kinesio tape on his shoulder, which Cole at one point said must have been from that fall on SmackDown. But he didn't go after the back. He didn't go after his shoulder. Like, that's what this whole match should have been. It should have been Corbin beating the crap out of Elias and exploiting the injury from him falling off a fucking 15-foot-high balcony. And they didn't do it at all.
Yeah. No. They just had a regular-ass match.
Corbin
was doing what he could to... Because he's a guy who talks to the crowd a lot, right?
Big time.
A guy who plays the crowd a lot. So all he could do was talk to Michael Cole.
Yeah.
So he screamed at Cole and JBL at one point. It's pretty funny.
And the referees.
Screaming at the ref, too. What did he say? You guys should be talking about how great I am or something. Because I think he was looking at you.
It was pretty funny. Again, that's Corbin, though. Even when he was talking about I should win by forfeit, he's not going to be here, so I demand the referee, and he comes in, and he's just like, raise my hand. Do your job.
Raise my hand.
And you're like, fuck you, man. You are a prick. Good job, though. Yeah, for the match itself, it's pretty much a match you would see at a house show, SmackDown, Raw. That doesn't mean it's bad. SmackDown. They both worked very hard. That deep six that... Corbin does. I love that move. I loved it when he did it on NXT. I still think it's great. He pulls that out here. He does that spot where he gets flung into the corner, Corbin does, and ducks out the bottom rope, goes around the ring post, flies back into the ring and does something. He hit that at one point here.
And he failed one, too. Which
he failed one.
The classic, nothing ever works twice in a wrestling match.
Bingo. Can't fool me twice. They each hit their shoulders on the post, which you could hear real loud, and it was nice. Yeah. So it made it, the fact that there's no crowd and there's just no background noise, it sounds like it hurts a hell of a whole lot. I don't know if it does, but it sounded like it did.
You don't think it's weird that when they're going in with all the speed, they always hit the shoulder? I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Why don't they ever hit their head, Goldberg?
Or Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 23?
For real. Get all fucked up. You know about the Goldberg one against Undertaker, right?
No, was that the Super Showdown or whatever?
Yeah, Taker and Goldberg, the worst match in WWE history, where he went for the spear, and then he actually hit his post on the corner and knocked himself silly, and then it was horrible. Worst match ever.
Yeah, it was one of the worst matches I've ever seen. This wasn't. This was a fine SmackDown match on WrestleMania.
And that's what it was.
Yeah.
Big knee,
that was good. I did like
that. Was good. It was nice. A lot of guys are doing that nowadays. That's a big Japan thing, so a lot of guys in the States are starting to do that. At one point, Corbin goes to try to pin Elias, and his feet are on the ropes, but Jessica Carr catches him, and he gets a little pissed, and he's kind of getting in her face a little bit, and that's when Elias rolls up Corbin and holds the tights heel move, Elias. And we get a three count, and Elias wins at 9 minutes even.
Yep. No, 9 minutes even. Nice. I felt like... it felt... the right amount of time.
I agree.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot more they could do in that moment. Nope. It's a time filler just to get guys on the show and help them get a paycheck, too. But it's also two guys that have been on TV prominently up until that point. You got to let them have some airtime. This is a good way to do that. So,
yep, I agree.
Fully expected Corbin to win, got to be honest with you. 100% thought Corbin would win. He'd been kind of losing the reins a lot. This is a nice way to give him a win. But again, he's a heel. He doesn't really need it. He's still going to be an asshole, and he still is to this day. But...
Yeah.
Elias, you can get a little bit of heel in him at all times. Getting that the tights in there, man. Holding his jeans. So
yeah, he held the belt, like his belt that he was wearing. Yeah. Which I guess is Corbin's fault. If you don't want to have that hooked when you're getting pinned, don't wear it.
Wrestling 101, bro. Don't give him anything to hang on to.
That's right. No, you don't. Bald head and trunks. Slippery as hell. Just slide on everything. Anyway.
Corbin's all fired up. No kidding. So after the match, Corbin's all fired up, yelling at the ref. And then, well, he's a little bit in awe at first and kind of like, what the hell happened? Then he gets in the ref's face and he's just yelling and you can pick up everything he's saying. And then they cut away and that's it, man. I got a question. Is that one of Elias's songs that's playing for when Elias wins? Is that one of the songs from his album?
I'm pretty sure. I think because I was listening closely because I was like, I need to identify this music to put it in at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, but that's another reason I'm asking. I don't know what it is.
But it definitely sounded like his off-key singing in there, so it must have been. We'll find out at the end now because you'll hear
whatever, it. Yeah, whatever it is, we'll find it, whether it's him or not, I suppose, right? One thing about this match, I thought they worked really fast. Not a lot of downtime, not a lot of rest time, and I thought that they sped everything up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You could tell they were breathing heavily. They were working. They were going. They were really giving it. Because they can't. There's no time to let the crowd breathe.
That's
no
the crowd. Thing. You got. Yeah. You know, a lot of times the crowd dictates what they're doing, right? Whether you need to slow down, speed up, act accordingly, really press a hold. And that's a big theme for this whole WrestleMania 36 without the crowd being there. And even still to this day with the Thunderdome not as prevalent now because, again, like you said earlier, they're kind of more used to it now, and at this point they weren't. But the one thing I noticed is they really moved fast, not a lot of selling at all. Like I said, Elias didn't even sell the back and shoulder or whatever he fell onto when he fell, which is still I'm going to harp on because it really bothered me the whole time. But, yeah, they worked. They worked really hard and nonstop.
Yeah. Decent. What do you want to rate it?
My turn first, huh?
It is.
I'm going to give it a 1.5 HBKs.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not a move. The match is a year old, and I didn't remember who won when we picked it. I didn't remember what the buildup was. I didn't remember anything from it. Now that I've seen it again, I may remember some of this a little longer. Because I tell you right now, I had not watched this match since it happened a year ago. There's no reason to go back and watch it again. But it's not bad. It's not a bad match. They don't screw up. Luckily, it's also pre-taped, so if there were any screw-ups or things they wanted to cut out to make it be a lot more smooth, they could have edited this down. For all we know, they worked for 15 minutes and did do rest holds and did sell more, and they cut it all out. We don't know. So
You're right. We don't know.
So I'm giving it 1.5 HBKs. I can't justify higher or lower than that.
Yeah, I was. I settled on 1.5 as well as soon as I finished it because I know it's funny that you say 1.5 because I said this is a 1.5, almost a 1, but I gave it a half bump because JBL's on commentary. It wasn't that long. King Corbin's pretty good at being a heel. He was yelling at the referee and shit. I wasn't not entertained.
Yeah, it's not boring. I wouldn't say it's boring. It's not boring, but it is a match you can see every week on Raw SmackDown.
Correct. It's run-of-the-mill. So 1.5 HBKs. And considering giving it a half bump HBK due to the circumstances, just because you had to... What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And this is what they did, and it was good. So,
yeah, they had to do something. And kudos to these guys for pulling it off. It's also the second match of the night, too. You know what I mean? Like, there's only one match before this on the main show. So, as you're watching it live a year ago, you're still kind of, like, processing, like, this is weird. This is weird. I don't like this. This is weird. So,
yeah. Do you happen to have any follow up? These guys do.
I don't. I failed to look up what it was. Memory does not help me in this instance either. I don't recall these two guys continually working after this. If they did, it's not enough for me to remember. They probably did. For all I know, they had a match on SmackDown the week after. I couldn't tell you. But since this match doesn't have any titles, there's no ramifications, there's not a whole lot of substantial build-up to it. I'm sure it was just a match and they ended it. I mean, these two dudes used to be running buddies. There's programs with these guys tagging, like, 2 years before this, in, like, 2018, yeah. too. So, like, it's just, they're going to be guys that are always going to probably be around each other and have matches all the time.
Yep, and that makes sense. It's the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens of the performance, are
they? Yeah, kind of. Do you have any, you don't have any, you said you didn't have any follow-up, eh?
Not really. Right. They're both great.
All right, yeah, they're both great. Hey, guess what? A new WrestleMania happened. Our max number is now 372. So we're going to pick a match for next time. We go 0 to 372. If we happen to get 0, we get to pick any match, segment, musical segment, interview, something we already saw, something we never think we would watch, a pre-show match. If it's got WrestleMania tied to it, we get to watch it. But that's only if we get 0. You got your list?
I got my huge list.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
74.
74. Ladies and gentlemen, 74. It's Jake the Snake Roberts versus Ted DiBiase.
WrestleMania 5?
From WrestleMania 5.
My favorite WrestleMania. We got a lot of WrestleMania 5 matches.
Hey, Jake the Snake, man, he only had like 4 WrestleMania matches, so, or maybe 5. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, anyway.
At 12.
12, shit, forgot about that one. Yeah, against DiBiase again, who we just had.
Yeah, like 3 weeks ago. But this is...
Yeah.
Is this for the Million Dollar Championship? This might be.
It might be. And this is a really good Jake Roberts promo. If you remember when he's,
is this
when
the
he's
talking about... Is this the wallow...
He's talking about the money.
And you will wallow in the whatever of Amorous? Or something like that?
Something.
And it's got to like be people online.
The people that you, like, push down.
And grovel. And grovel. You know, and grovel at your feet.
Whatever. We're butchering an amazing promo right now.
This is WrestleMania 6, by the way.
Oh. Okay, that makes sense, because 5, he faced fucking Andre.
So this is our first match that we've had for WrestleMania 6. No, it's not. We had the tag team title match. But that was one of our first episodes ever, was that. So I liked it. Okay, Toronto Sky Dome, and I'm fairly certain this is for the Million Dollar Championship.
Yeah.
These are two legends. We're going to find that promo, too, because I know it's online. Even if it's not to post, maybe we can find it and throw it in the show next week. I'm excited for this one. I know this match. Mm-hmm. I know who wins. I'm excited.
Yep.
This is not a tournament match. It means something.
Yes. Overall, the WrestleMania 6 matches.
And the crowd is hot for 6.
Yeah, Toronto,
so
baby.
All right, cool, man. Ted DiBiase, Jake the Snake, WrestleMania 6.
Yep.
It's a good one. The first WrestleMania I remember ever remember seeing.
Yep, and two guys they made wrestling buddies out of, so that's good. Anyway, that's good.
Both guys whose Hasbros I have, anyway. So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, multiple Hasbros. All right, so that's a good show. We're going to congratulate Elias on winning at WrestleMania 36. Elias, Samson, respect the name. Great, great wrestler, great musician. Platinum recording artist someday. Good job on winning. Unfortunately, King Corbin.
You're fired!
Who wants to walk with Elias?